Okay, the Leafs, their defense, Tyson Barrie, others. What's going on as we close in on the trade deadline here, a few weeks away?
Well, you know, we didn't do it. We didn't do a headlines last weekend at All-Star. We generally don't unless something huge comes up. But, you know, in the weekend leading up to that, you know, I got a tip that the Leafs were making it very clear that the line I used in my notes this week, the players would determine which way they went on their blue line. Would they try to add either a right shot or somebody who can play the right side? Or would they investigate moving out their UFAs? And you look at this week, they've had two of their best games back-to-back in a while. They were on the road in two tough places to play, and they beat Nashville, who didn't play great, and they beat Dallas, who they forced not to play great. And, you know, if they're going to play like that, I think they're going to look. I really do. I think they'll see about bolstering their blue line. Now, it might be more than one move, depending on what they have to bring in terms of their cap situation or take out in terms of their cap situation. It could be a double move, but I think they'll look at, you know, what's out there. And the name I've mentioned, because I've heard they looked at him, was Dumba, but someone said to me, I think if there's any good defenseman they think is on the market, they're looking at it. As long as the team continues to play well. That's the caveat.
What do you think the price tag is for a guy like Dumba?
It's not small. I mean, the guy's got he's signed to for three more years after this, Mike. And, you know, I don't think it's an easy price, even though he hasn't had a great year. I think that Minnesota recognizes he's a better player than it's shown, but it's going to cost them, you know, it's going to cost them probably one of the Kapanen, Johnsson, Kerfoot trio, maybe a young D. And I don't know if it'll be a high pick, but I think it could be a pick, but it's something like that. You know, I can't tell you for sure because the person involved wouldn't give me specific names, but I think that, you know, I just think that they would probably be something like that.
Now, Rasmus Sandin, what he's done the last couple of games, we've seen him kind of flourish and develop a little bit more every time he touches the ice. Is there any consideration on what he means to this back end and what the team will do? Because we haven't really seen him play 20 minutes yet. Because there's a lot of talk, he could be our top four, and I've said give him a shot on the first power play unit. Does his emergence kind of change the way they approach this trade deadline and what they do in the back end?
It could, Mike. I mean, he's had a very impressive week. You know, there were a couple of really good plays, I thought, against Dallas. I mean, there was one, he took a big hit from Jamie Benn. Mm-hmm. He shook it off. He made the play. He seems to be very composed. You know, there was a play in the first period at the Dallas blue line where his shot got blocked and it could have turned into a disaster. And he did a great job on a couple of different occasions up the ice where he made sure it didn't turn into anything bad. I mean, you know, I think Mike, he's still young. He's a rookie. I think the biggest question is going to be, you know, do they think he's ready now to make a major impact? But there's no question that the kid is really talented and he's going to make a major impact for years to come. I think the biggest thing they have to weigh, and they've still got time to do it, is how big an impact do they think he can make now? Is he really ready to be in that role now? Or, you know, they think that, you know, maybe it's another year before he can. But there's no question this guy is talented and he's good. I just think the question is now or later.
So I think it's a little bit unfair to kind of put the weight of the world on our D-Corps shoulders. Bear with me a little bit. Over the last couple of years, right, Frederik Andersen has been an anomaly in net. When I mean that, I say his save percentage has been consistent for the last 3 years. So he's done what he needs to do. The average goals against per game from the Toronto Maple Leafs has risen every single year in conjunction with the fact that over the last 3 years, the Toronto Maple Leafs have bolstered their blue line. So how does this equate to getting a defender who, okay, if they're going to be someone who's a needle mover, that's fine. But how can we ensure that's actually even going to make a difference when we consistently see Kapanen getting beat backdoor or Austin Matthews leaking up the ice in hopes that the puck bounces the Leafs' way so he can get an offensive opportunity? I just think it's a little bit unfair and we weigh it a little bit incorrectly in terms of how responsible the D-core is to the lack of success that the Leafs have keeping the puck out of their net on some nights.
Well, you know, I do think that, you know, I think it's, look, defense is a team game. There's no question about it. I do think that as a group, there have been questions at times about the forwards' commitment to it. I think Matthews in particular has worked harder at being a better defensive player. You see him involved more. You know, I think Marner in particular, danger penalty killing, he is, he's always had a pretty good conscience. You know, there's no question, Ashley, that you have to be committed defensively. And Anderson, I think there's always a concern in the last couple of years as his workload's increased at the end of the year. You know, hey, he's had disappointing ends to the season. Both game sevens against Boston, he wasn't at his best. But I think what you try to do is make your odds as good as possible that you can overcome all that. And I think they look at the right side of their blue line as a place where they can upgrade. And I don't know, like, I don't know. You look at their forwards. I mean, I think you can always upgrade, but where are you going to find guys that are better than what they have now?
1,000%, I think, yeah.
But so I think when you look at the roster and you say, where do we give ourselves the best chance to get better? It's on the right side of that blue line.
Mr. Friedman, thank you for your time this morning. Super Bowl predictions aside, and we'll talk again next week.
Maybe.
I'll just say, Scotty, that was not a confident prediction. And I love me some Richard Sherman, but I just, you know, the way Kansas City scores, I don't know who's going to slow him down.